We have something very special this morning. We're doing an extended slice. An extended slice. Because we really want you to hear from this particular woman about her experience on sabbatical recently. You are hearing some hooting and hollering because there's some people who know this woman, and she is a woman of profound character, of deep love for God, that just keeps getting deeper, and a deep love for others that just keeps getting deeper as well. So hailing from the Hobson Vasquez small group and the Sweet Street region of New Life Church, which if you don't know is Southwest and South Street. Also sometimes affectionately known as Mama G. Please welcome up Gia Stanley.
Thank you. So a while ago, I heard a story about a man who was in prison for political or religious reasons. And when he arrived at prison, he said, "Now I can finally rest. I don't have a schedule. I don't have things to do. I'm not going to be busy." But shortly thereafter, he found himself actually busy in prison. And I resonate with that story because I see myself in it. I just have a tendency to fill my life and to fill my schedule. Sometimes it feels like I don't have a choice but to be busy, but then there's other times I feel like I'm needlessly adding things to my schedule or saying yes to things or mindlessly looking at my phone and filling those quiet moments. You see, it's hard for me at times to slow down. Part of me wonders if I slow down, will I experience loneliness or boredom? Beyond that, would I get really in touch with my fears or my deep longings and just the vulnerability of that? Or would I feel empty? And worse yet, for me, in my opinion, would I just feel just a flood of dark thoughts and anxious thoughts fill my mind? So for me, it's been a long process to learn how to slow down. And I had an amazing opportunity recently to experience that. I recently returned from a six-month sabbatical. And I first went into ministry because I really wanted to see God's church grow, and I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to see people spurred on and encouraged. I wanted to play my small role in building people up and releasing them into what God has for them. And my heart on that has not changed. I see God's global church as beautiful and diverse, and I want to do my small part here at this local church to spur you on to faith. And so sabbatical was really important to me because I want to be in this for the long haul. Sabbatical is a time where you can rest. It's a time for re-envisioning. And so that is what I pursued, a time of being with Jesus and slowing down. And what he showed me through that time is that I have a deep thirst for him. I'm going to read to you from John 7. John 7:37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." So I want to give you some context first. The feast that is being referred to here is the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is this time of year where they come after the harvest to worship God, thanking him for how he's provided through the harvest. But also at this time, it was referred to as the water festival. They'd have a water procession because they were also praying that God would bring rain after a summer drought. Particularly the urban dwellers, they were pretty concerned that their cisterns were empty. And they were really emphasizing, we need to pray for water. And so when I think of this last day of the feast, the last and greatest day, crowds are closing in, and I think of Jesus looking out over these people, and some of them were probably really in touch with their physical thirst, and some were probably pretty detached from their physical thirst. And similarly, some were probably really in touch with their need for God. They knew their spiritual thirst, and so they were coming there to worship. They they were desperate for God. And then there's probably people there that are going through the motions. They were showing up because you just, a couple times a year, you walk to the festival in Jerusalem, and that's just what you do. And then I'm sure there's a number of people in between. But Jesus saw through all of that, and he saw their deep soul thirst for him. He goes on to say after this that the streams of living water is referring to the Holy Spirit. It's referring to God. He's saying, if you come and believe in me, you will receive me. You will receive God. He will fill you. And he was offering relationship. He was offering himself. I want to speak a little bit to the word that he uses there of living water. Living water is water that has an inlet and an outlet. It's fresh water. So rivers and streams and waterfalls, it's continually being refreshed. In contrast to dead water, scripture talks about dead water as, you know, water collection devices like a cistern, or I also think of in Africa when the rains come and a watering hole fills just for a season for people, not people usually, but animals to drink from, and then it dries up. And he says his water that he offers is living, that is always fresh. And so sabbatical for me was taking Jesus at his word and sitting with him and slowing down and believing that he would fill me. And so I spent a lot of time sitting and connecting with him, reading scripture, staring out at the window, just looking at the beauty of the trees and the animals, praying to him. And yes, there were times that I was bored and I felt lonely and I felt afraid, but I experienced Jesus's nearness in that. I didn't run from it or try to hide those feelings or escape from them. I saw Jesus fill me right where I was at. And through it all, I feel like the things that really were profound for me in the experience was learning that Jesus is enough for you and for me. That his water will not run dry. Jesus himself will not run dry. And I think the question that he's asking us is, will we slow down enough to notice that our mouth is dry? And the beauty of it all is he has everything we need. He wants to fill us. He wants to offer relationship. He wants to meet us where we're at. And so, oddly enough, I still feel thirsty. I feel very full from how God met me during my sabbatical experience, but I also feel thirsty. And that's kind of the point. Until we go home to be with Jesus, ultimately, we'll always need and yearn for him. And he's going to meet us in that. And there's beauty in waiting on him and allowing him to fill us. So yes, I'm so thirsty, but that's okay because he's enough for you and for me.
Please join me in praying for Gia. Lord, what a privilege it is to be Gia's brother because of what you've done. Thank you for her words that she is still thirsty. I love that. And that she wants more of you. And thank you, Lord, that you satisfy and leave us thirsty for more. Thank you for the deep work you're doing in her own heart and life. Thank you for her example, Lord. Her vibrant example that Jesus, you are indeed alive in her. Lord, you continue that beautiful work and deepen our love for you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kyle.
Let's give her another round of applause. So that was a fantastic introduction to this part three of our four-part series entitled True and Only, okay? And we've been looking at these metaphors, these images of idolatry in the prophets and in the Hebrew scriptures because idol worship, worshiping a little statue, we can think, man, that's something from long ago. It doesn't really affect us now. But what a metaphor does is it captures the essence of something so you can bring it into the now and actually see, no, this kind of thing is happening all the time in our lives. And the other thing that a metaphor does, it can help point to, well, what is it we're really longing for when we go to idols? And so we had this great sermon from Rick a couple weeks ago, and looking at how idols are like a lie that we've made our refuge, or a high wall of sin we build to protect us. But what do we really need there? Well, we need our true and only protector, God. Or Jay last week talking about how our idols are these burdensome deliverers that we kind of throw over our shoulder. We got to bring them everywhere with us so that we have something to save us. But it weighs us down. And what we really need is a God who will carry us and our burdens, a deliverer. And today we look at how what we really need is a sustainer and a provider God that can satisfy our thirst, our deep thirst, and how idols we go to and they never quench our thirst. And so I was talking with Jay about this particular sermon a couple weeks ago, and we're both children of the 90s. And we remember this this awesome ad campaign from the 90s. So here's just a little glimpse of that before we move on.
I've got two glasses of Sunfizz coming right up.
Sunfizz, that's our favorite!
That's because there's a delicious ray of sunshine in every drop.
Come on, guys.
I'm filled with nature's goodness. Hey, what's with you people? I've got vitamins and minerals.
Trust your gut, not some cartoon character.
Oh, wow. So that was my childhood in a nutshell. Yeah. So I seriously had a hard time writing this sermon because I kept watching that so many times and LOLing. Okay. So what's Sprite doing in those commercials? Image is nothing. Thirst is everything. Obey your thirst, right? And if you look at the other commercials, there's always someone, maybe it's a famous person telling you to buy something or a cartoon character, right? And it's always the same thing. Like, don't buy something just because someone else says to buy it. Image doesn't matter. Who cares about your image? Thirst is everything. Obey your thirst. It's sort of the original, like, you do you kind of campaign. And but the irony is, what is Sprite selling? Don't say Sprite. What is Sprite selling? An image, right? Like, here, don't be one of those people who always worried about your image. Buy Sprite. Trademark, Coca-Cola Company, 1993. Right? It's like, what sense does that make? But you see, if you know, a lot of us hate commercials, and if you're like me, you do often hate commercials. But if you want them to get more entertaining, well, next time you see a commercial, don't ask yourself what product they're selling. Ask yourself, what's the message of this? What are they really selling here? Because people get paid a lot of money to determine what kind of image people want to buy so they can associate that with the product. Because they know if you have the right image, people will buy from you, because if you have the right image, maybe then you can get what you're really thirsty for. So that's my question for you this morning is, what are you really thirsty for? What are you really thirsty for? What do you think people are thirsty for? Anyone have any ideas? Respect. What else? Love. All right. Love and respect. Nailed it. Yeah. What is that? Did you say bubble tea? Loyalty. Come on, Ideen. I see you. I was like, and bubble tea. Okay. All right. So loyalty, respect, love. You know, you could put a lot of things in that blank: belonging, acceptance, different things like that. But yeah, some kind of love is what we're thirsty for, some version of, man, I want to be known and loved. And we think if we just had this, we would get it. You see, in ancient Israel and Judea, love looked like the rains coming, the crops putting forth a lot of yield, looked like relatives, peace, and safety. And if any of those things started to falter, everyone thought, well, maybe we're worshiping the wrong God. So Israel and Judah would turn away from the Lord and start worshiping all these other idols, hoping that one of them would give them some better results. And so the Lord speaks to the prophet Jeremiah, and he says this: my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, their spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Forsaken me, their spring of living water, and dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And they would just dig these cisterns into the limestone in that time to hold water. And I wonder, what is that in our lives? Like, what is that thing that we go to and we just carve out that space in our life and we try to get our thirst quenched with that one little thing just kind of off to our own that we hope is going to satisfy us? What is it that you turn to in life to satisfy your thirst? Don't answer aloud, but hold that in your mind. What is it? Is it a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband or wife? Is it a certain friendship? Maybe it's not a person. Maybe it's food or drink or alcohol. Maybe it's pornography or video games. I don't know. But what is it? What is the thing that you go to get your thirst quenched? Here's what I wonder. I wonder if you've ever gone to that thing that you think is going to quench your thirst, and you actually get it. Like the thing you wanted, you get it, and then you're disappointed. Would you raise your hand? Have you ever experienced that? If you went after something, an idol of some kind or another, and you actually get it, and keep your hands raised for a minute. Loud and proud. And it disappointed you. You look around. Keep those hands raised. You look around. A lot of people know what this is like. I know what this is like, right? You can put your hand down now, Jay. Thank you. Okay, good. Way to go. So sometimes the disappointment's immediate, right? Maybe we feel shame or disappointment. We think, well, man, I can't believe I did that. I totally messed up. But sometimes it comes a little bit later, right? It's a little bit removed. And you get that new pair of Jordans or that nice iPhone and then there's like a day that's working for you. You feel pretty filled up. Maybe a week, maybe a month. But eventually it starts to leak out. It starts to leak out, right? You know, because Gia talked about living water and dead water, and we have dead water in cisterns, but these are worse because these are broken cisterns, right? Because that limestone was porous. So you had to have some plaster along the inside to keep the water from seeping out. But over time, that become cracked and broken, and the water would just seep out, seep out, seep out. And you lift your head, try to figure something else out to quench your thirst. See, because idols don't quench our thirst. They just make us forget about it for a while. Idols don't quench our thirst. They just make us forget about it for a while. If you ever spent a lot of time looking at a screen, you know what this is like, right? Like maybe it is a video game, or maybe you're just kind of surfing the internet, or you're playing some game on your phone or whatever, and so you feel pretty content, right? Like a lot of time can pass by if you've seen those little, you know, you spent 17 hours today looking at your phone on average, right? Or whatever it is. But you look at it and things feel pretty okay, but then the second that you turn the phone off or you stop playing the game, what happens? Oh, I'm really thirsty. I'm hungry. I needed to go to the bathroom like an hour ago, right? I have a lot of feelings. Where did those come from, right? It's like you just forgot for a while. You just kind of put the thirst on hold to disengage for a while. But I want us to hold that thirst for a moment. So if you're willing, if you would please close your eyes. And imagine you're in a desert, a hot desert. Some of you are like, yes, finally. A hot desert, and you're thirsty, you're parched. Now imagine that idol that you thought of earlier, whatever it is or whoever it is, it's about 300 or 400 yards off, and you start walking because you're thirsty. You need a drink of that idol, whatever it is. See it in your mind. And let's say for the sake of this moment, we'll imagine that idol as a well, a deep well, and you're not sure if it's run dry, but you're carrying a heavy bucket because you can't wait to dip that thing in and pull up some water if you can. So you're walking, or maybe you're starting to jog or run. You need to get there. But you get about 100 yards off, and you look up, and you see there's someone standing by the well, and that irks you a little bit. You pause, because normally when you go to the well, you like to go by yourself. You don't really want anyone to see or to know, to bother you. But you're thirsty, so you keep walking, because you've got to have a drink. You've got to have it. You get a little closer, and you realize that person is looking at you, and you know who it is. It's Jesus. And he knows what you've come to do. And you know he knows what you've come to do. And he knows, you know, he knows what you've come to do. But you're thirsty, and so you keep walking. And you get up to the well, and you're just hoping against hope. At least maybe he'll ignore you, maybe won't notice you, maybe won't talk to you. And you hook up that heavy bucket to the rope and get ready to draw some water. And then he breaks the silence with a question. Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink? Or you can open your eyes if you want. This is similar to the story that's told in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, who's had five husbands, and the man that she's with currently is not her husband. Clearly, the well is empty, and the water keeps leaking out. She keeps searching for something. So she goes out to the well in the heat of the day, hoping just to get her water and leave. And Jesus says, will you give me a drink? And a conversation ensues. And at some point, Jesus says this. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that offers, asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. I love this. How often are we like this? God, you've got nothing to draw with and this well is deep. I don't know if you could help me. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? And then Jesus says this, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Think of that. Anyone who drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. What an amazing promise. We'll never thirst again. Right? Because if we go to performance, we spend our whole life feeling like a failure. If we just got to be beautiful, right? We want to be beautiful. We spend our whole life feeling ugly. If we want to be spiritual and self-righteous, we spend our whole life feeling guilty and ashamed. And yet here he's saying, hey, I got some water that's not going to leak out. Come and drink. And as Gia already mentioned, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and that's what Jesus spells out later in the book of John. And then we see in Romans, Paul says it in this beautiful way. He says this, this hope does not disappoint us. This hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, that Spirit that is set within us is the very presence of the God who is love. So when we at New Life Church say worship is about living devoted to Jesus, and when we say that that means remain in the gospel and be renewed by the Spirit, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about returning to that love over and over again. We're not done. We didn't come to Jesus just to walk away. We need him every single day. So remaining in the gospel is just coming back again and saying, God, I need you today. I confess. I was just comparing myself to that person, to what she looks like or to what he did. I feel like I got to be the same. And so I confess that, or I confess I escaped. I numbed my thirst for a while. I ignored that thirst for you that I have. And I confess that I repent. I turn to you. And here's the great part is when we turn to him, we come back to him. He's not looking at us, scolding us, disappointed with us, and angry with us. He said, I paid for that too. You come to this throne with confidence because you're my son. You're my daughter. And I have grace for you now. Every time you come to me. Yeah, I was this week, I was at a church service, different church service. I was at a church service last week, and there were people coming up, standing up, sharing these beautiful stories, and I was judging them in my heart. And I noticed it. I was like, God, confess my pride right now. I confess my pride. I'm sorry. I repent. I accept your grace. And I was struck by the beauty of their stories, and I started to weep. So I'm just sitting there weeping in a pew at a church that I don't normally go to. And I'm like, everyone sees me, they're gonna think I'm crazy. But then, like, pulling myself together. 2 minutes later, I'm doing the same thing. God, I confess, repent, I accept your grace. Started to weep again. People are like, this guy is really crazy. That's my life. My life is just one session of repentance over and over and over again. Amen? That's the best kind of maturity I got to offer you as an example. I don't know that I can always say, hey, imitate me as I imitate Jesus, the way Paul said it. But what I can tell you is imitate me in that I know I need Jesus and it ain't never going to change. So if you know that too, we're in a good spot. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. His life, death, and resurrection was enough to pay for every sin, for every shortcoming, and to place in us that Spirit which testifies that we are his sons or daughters. And that ain't never going to change. So let's come to the one who offers us a drink that will never thirst again, the drink that satisfies and leaves us thirsty for more. Let's pray. Father, we need you. Jesus, we need you. Spirit, we need you. Fill us up. Satisfy us and leave us longing for more. Lord, I pray that we'll never be hindered from coming to your throne of grace, certainly not by some lie that you don't love us anymore. God, you accomplished everything necessary to bring us to you. You've made so that there's peace that we have with you. Lord, help us to embrace that rest, embrace that peace, to come to you again and again and drink. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's this awesome, somehow the mic turned on more. okay. So a message version, Matthew 5, there's this part where he says, where Jesus says, you are blessed if you work up a good appetite for God. Because he is food and drink in the best meal that you'll ever have. And so today we enter into this time of communion and we take this bread and we dip it into this drink and we receive it and we remember that Christ's body was broken for us and that his blood was poured out to make us clean. So we're going to worship together over a couple songs. We're going to have prayer ministers down front and in the back. I'll be down front. If you want to ask for prayer, I'd love to pray for you. And let's receive this body and blood and remember what Jesus has done for us and take him into ourselves and let that thirst be quenched as we worship. Let's worship together.